detective. Thrill me.
Thanks for joining us again. Back into slasher movie territory, but European, Jared. European slasher. Tonight we're covering 2006's Norwegian slasher, Cold Prey. But before we get to that, Jared, let's run through what we've been watching. You know, we've got a fair bit to talk about here today because we're going to cover some news as well that's recently popped up. I'm going to run through mine. I watched a fair bit of stuff, some stuff that I'd seen before. I actually went back and watched the three serial killer tapes, docos that are on Netflix. Just three fucking dickheads, like, of the highest caliber. And I actually think the worst of the lot of them is actually Gacy, because he's such a fucking arrogant flog on top of being a horrible murderer.
Yeah.
Who then proceeded to say at the end, I didn't do it. I mean, there's 30 fucking bodies under my house, but I'm an accessory in two.
John, how did they get there? Explain it to us. How did somebody sneak those under your house?
Talk us through it. Because this will be good. So they were interesting enough. I also watched Bloody Hell.
Mm-hmm.
We got a recommendation from Ben.
Yes.
Fucking loved it.
We both watched that one, yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was good.
I was so surprised by it because I was like, I've never even heard of this.
Yeah.
And it blew me away. It was really, really well done.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I like the way it kind of mixed the horror with a little bit of action kind of work in there and a character we'd almost see in a like a Van Damme flick or something like that, you know?
And is it just me or did that guy he gave me 80s Mel Gibson vibes.
Yeah, not the hair.
Pretty sugar tits Gibson, but yeah, not the hair, but you know what I mean? Like he even sounded a bit like Mel Gibson from Lethal Weapon. But I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was
and performances
fun.
Were excellent. Yes. Like the main guy, he's got in my opinion, he's got a career pulling that kind of shit. He was really good.
It was funny to see a character from Blue Heelers in the family. But it was good.
I also watched, Jared, fuck. Now, I believe I'd been told by Gibbo not to watch this film ever, but I was looking for a comedy. Look, I was left to my own devices over the weekend.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. I'm looking for a comedy.
You're thinking comedy's back? Comedy's back.
I'm thinking, look, I just want something that I can have a giggle at.
Pre-Nielsen Naked Gun, I need to find something
and
to have a laugh
what
at.
Did I fucking stumble across? The Package on Netflix.
Right.
Where a guy cuts his dick off. And I watched half an hour of it and I just said to myself, what am I doing?
Adam, I can only say you've only got yourself to blame there.
And then I said to myself, fuck no, Netflix should be blamed for this.
Yeah, but you didn't have to press play.
They suckered me in, Jared. They suckered
me
in.
How? Tell me how they suckered you in. Just the blurb? Guy cuts his dick off. Bang, play.
I thought that might be amusing. There was not a laugh to be had. Yeah, in half an hour, I was just like, oh, my God, what is this?
Yeah.
So I turned it off.
Fair enough.
And I will not be going back. But, Jared, I recovered with Wrongfully Accused.
That's a bounce back, all right.
Oh, yeah. Look, it's got some lame jokes in it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not on the hit list like Naked Gun is.
No.
Like where 90% of the jokes hit the mark.
It's got
Naked
more
Gun.
Misses.
But it's
still
got
a couple
some
of classics.
Funny things in
it. Yeah.
I mean, him driving out of trying to pay a toll out of a car park in one of those fucking those cars with the hydraulics in it.
Yeah, yeah. Being incognito.
Brilliant.
The way he can, he can look up at the, while that's going on and he can kind of look at the bloke at the thing and thank you and kind of drop it. It's just brilliant.
I also watched Baby Reindeer.
Heard about it.
It was really good. It was good. It was quite intense. And in fact, there was some stuff about midway through where I was like, holy shit, I didn't see this coming at all. It doesn't quite stick the landing. It's a little bit kind of like maybe a touch kind of like you don't feel like there's a proper payoff type of thing. That's how I felt. But I kind of got where he was going with it. And overall, well acted, pretty emotional, but a little bit intense. And the last one, which I believe you will also talk about, I saw The Fall Guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Same. I thought it was really entertaining. Gosling, mate.
Genius.
The guy can fucking do anything.
Yeah.
At the moment, he's just in rare touch.
Yep.
And he's just great fun in the movie. Like, he's really, really good fun.
Yeah.
And we saw it in D-Box too, so it was fucking shit. Oh, was shaking around everywhere.
And buzzing and shaking. And, yeah.
And I just said the stunt work again, like, awesome. Out of this world. Some of it was great.
Yeah.
Like, really, really great.
Yeah.
But that's me.
Yeah, yeah. So jumping in, yes, I also thought The Fall Guy was excellent. Just funny. As I said to you, there's not really any lines that I can necessarily remember, but just kind of like just funny all the way through. The back and forth between Gosling and Emily Blunt was always amusing. Aaron fucking Taylor Johnson was...
What was his name?
Genius.
Tom Ryder.
We got cruise vibes, didn't we?
It was piss funny though. Especially when they say, show the video of his fucking party where he's choking
someone. Yeah, I walked into the party and there's Ryder wrestling with his stunt man. They fucking got each other in jiu-jitsu holds and shit. That was piss funny. But as you said, the stunt work was awesome. I mean, thinking that a sequence with Emily Blunt belting out against all odds whilst there's this sequence of a fucking a garbage truck going through the streets of Sydney where I had a feeling that George Miller snuck on set for a day or two to shoot this. It was fucking awesome. That was the best sequence I've seen in a cinema all year.
Yeah.
It was fucking just to say that, yeah. Against all odds, car chase through the streets. How the fuck does that work so well? But it was brilliant.
Yeah, it worked out really well.
But yeah, I love the fact that it was funny and it was kind of a loving ode to stuntmen in a lot of ways. The fact that they decided to do so much fucking practical stunt work in there was really, really cool. So that held up a lot better than I was anticipating, which was great.
Mm.
I forgot to mention last time we got together, I've had a couple of trips to the cinema recently, but I did see Monkey Man.
Oh, yeah. I got told this was awesome. Someone at work said, was not expecting it, got dragged there and loved it.
Really enjoyed it. There's definitely John Wick vibes. I like the fact that Dev Patel sort of took it to India because that's something that we, I don't have a lot of experience with in the cinematic sense. So the fact that he took it to that location and brought some characters in that vein was pretty cool. There was a couple of parts where he was definitely sort of pushing a message and I didn't mind that so much, but it sort of pulled away. It took you out of things for a little bit because it goes to all these sort of, not flashbacks, but it cuts into like shots which seem to be like real protests and things like that for a stretch, which kind of pulls away from the main story. But aside from that, she's fucking hell for leather the whole way. And I think all in all, it was really cool.
Okay.
I also saw Godzilla vs. Kong, The New Empire.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. I know what those, the MonsterVerse is at the moment, and this was the one that sort of leaned into it the most. You know, you've probably seen by now we get sort of a rival for Kong, which is actually kind of cool. It works out really well. If they're going to go that way, I like the way that they did it. You know, there's a lot of bullshit about the Hollow Earth and this sort of stuff, but they lean into that by having Brian Tyree Henry and Dan Stevens kind of playing off each other, and they're sort of opposites. But Dan Stevens is unlike I've seen him in. He's almost bringing the light, the comic relief, in a sense. So there's a lot of stuff around there, which is just kind of like when that's happening, you're just sort of like, let's just get back to the monsters fucking punching each other and stuff like that.
Mm.
But I enjoyed it. I liked it for what it was. It's not, you know, as I said to you, I think Godzilla Minus One was fucking phenomenal. I really love that movie, and I think it's the peak of Godzilla that I've seen in my time watching them. But this is fun for what it is. Going with the comedy direction, I finally watched Blockers.
Yeah.
I know you're immediately laughing at beers being chugged through.
Especially when it explodes back in fucking Baron Alter's face.
He tightens up.
fucking brilliant. And also when they're getting their scrotum squeezed and shit in the house.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, there's a couple of really funny bits.
Yeah. Look, it's genuinely funny. in stretches. But I think what I wasn't expecting was the teen movie aspect to actually be really good.
Yeah.
You know, going with that sort of American Pie style vibe from the girl's perspective, but having it actually like well written, like the you believe the relationships with the girls and where they go with it, it's kind of fucking heartfelt.
Yeah.
Especially as a parent, you know, you kind of feel some of the connections that are going on there. So I was very impressed with it.
Mm-hmm.
And Cena was just the perfect balance of overprotective dad and fucking buffoon. Like,
yeah.
So good.
Yeah, dig it.
I watched Living with Chucky.
Oh, the doco?
Which was the doco about the Child's Play series. Really cool. Really cool. Like, it's got a couple of the key players. Like, it doesn't go really broad, but it's got Don Mancini, it's got Brad Dourif, it's got Fiona Dourif, it's got the producer, I've forgotten his name, Kirshner, is it?
Oh, yes, yes, yeah.
So the special effects people, and it plays, I don't think it's a spoiler, like it doesn't put it out in the movie until about halfway through, but everything I read prior to and going into, we knew it was directed by somebody that had a relationship to the series. So kind of halfway through, it gets into this sort of stretch of, well, this is my family and I wanted to meet, you know, this person in my life's sort of other family that he's been working with on and off for a couple of decades now.
Hmm.
So that was a really nice touch to it. And I thought it was very enjoyable, really sort of loving spin on the series, and gives it a lot of credit for stuff that sometimes we forget about with Chucky. I think it's fair to say out of the big series, Child's Play's actually got a claim to say, hey, this one might have a handful of the better movies. You know, it's one of those series where you can look at and say, on balance, there's more good
Child's Play
movies than there are bad ones, you know?
Yeah.
Saying that, you know, including things like Cult of Chucky and Curse of Chucky, which I thought were both really cool. And now you go to the TV series, which I haven't seen the current season of, but I have watched
the first season
and started season two. Yeah, it was cool to see it get some credit for that. That was good. Recommend for sure. Tubi original.
Came back into it.
Festival of the Living Dead. Yeah.
You say no more, Tubi original.
It was okay, but I think it's just a case of the ambition of it just outstretching what you could achieve with the budget.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Soska sisters have got some, you know, got some runs on the board. The idea is fine, like going with a music festival crossover with the Living Dead stuff. That could work, but when you don't have the budget to put together more than what looks to be about 20 extras who are turning up in every scene, and
yeah,
it's a real struggle. I mean, there's shots that look like they're from like drones or something that up high, where they clearly just paste in a couple of fucking CGI people and stuff like that. It kind of undermines it a little bit, which is unfortunate because I thought it could have been okay. Sticking with Tubi, this time not originals, I watched Swamp Thing, the Wes Craven Swamp Thing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Not great. No. Not great. Not Wes's best work. I think it's somewhere in the middle of his work and a comic book. I was looking for almost more of the comic book stuff. I also then went straight into The Return of Swamp Thing.
Which was this the one from the 80s?
Yeah, yeah. Mid-80s so that or was late 80s? The one with Heather Locklear.
Yeah.
Jumping into the female lead.
How did that go down?
I actually thought that one was better. Only because it hit a few more of the comic booky sort of marks. I mean, Swamp Thing talks like fucking Superman when he's talking to people. Like, he sounds like Superman. It sounds like Clark Kent when he's talking to people. And there was things that I didn't like about it.
I think the costume was better too, wasn't it?
Yeah, costume was much better. And Jim Wynorski directs it and just kind of goes with that B-movie shit in a couple of parts, tries to get a few laughs. I mean, it's goofy as hell. It's not that much better. I would say they're pretty close to on par, but I think I enjoyed the second one more. I watched Late Night with the Devil.
I would like to see that.
Mm. Not bad. There was some parts of it that I felt just hit the sort of standard possession movie marks, but I thought it was a real winner to go with this is like a lost episode of an old talk show.
Yeah.
That stuff was cool. Like, it really looks cool and it plays, you know, I can't think of many more people to put in the lead role than someone like David Desmalchian to hit the kind of marks of a talk show host and have these goofy kind of obvious gags and stuff like that. But you still look at the bloke and you can see, you know, if this was a talk show host, you probably would have tuned in. He's got the requisite charisma and all this sort of stuff. They roll out a couple of guys that are obvious plays on, you know, they take the piss out of sort of Yuri Geller, and there's a character that's obviously sort of a James Randi type. It's funny that it's made in made by a couple of Australians because
because we don't have that. We didn't have that kind of late night television.
But the first thing I thought was, remember when James Randi was out here on the Don Lane show when Don Lane had Yuri Geller?
Yeah.
And Don Lane fucking fired up and told him to piss off and all that. If you remember that famous clip. But I think if you've lived in Australia for any sense of time and watched any show about classic Aussie moments, you've seen this moment of Don Lane telling James Randi, you could just piss off. And then you look at it and you're like, well, James Randi pretty clearly showed that Yuri Geller was a fraud, and it plays on this gullibility of the audience and that sort of thing, but then uses that character in the movie to create some tension with this real possession that's going on. That's really cool for a while.
Mm.
I didn't love it down the stretch, but I think it's definitely worth a watch.
Okay, cool. I need to have a look at that.
And the last one, Adam, which I know you'll be sniffing around as soon as I mention it, was I watched another doco on The Ultimate Warrior. This one was made by A&E, I believe. It was like biography. I actually saw it on YouTube. It was in full on YouTube.
Was it? Oh, it perfect.
Was. I don't know. I'm not gonna jump and say it's on YouTube in all regions, but I did come across it for free on YouTube.
In some way.
It's funny because it's kind of like, it looks like these docos have come into play with the success of Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah.
I feel like saying that had a big impact, but they're made with WWE's sort of cooperation.
Okay.
So this one includes some behind the scenes of some of his promos with some outtakes and stuff. Like you see him cutting an outtake and then you see him kind of just fumble. It's like, fuck, let's go again. And you hear like Vince McMahon in the back of it going, yeah, come on, Jim, let's work through this. All these. So it's kind of cool to see that. It's a little more positive. He talks to his wife and his daughters, which is cool. It's good to get a balance, but it doesn't shy away from talking about, you know, the holding WWE to ransom before SummerSlam, and you know, the fact that he burned out quick. Like,
does it mention Warrior University?
Does mention Warrior U. It has a little bit of video of Warrior U.
How many people have graduated from Warrior U?
I think it painted a picture.
As many as have graduated from Trump U.
It painted a picture that Warrior University was actually a gym.
Oh.
So it shows him talking about Warrior University and cutting his promo. And it's him in a gym. Okay. And Warrior University was, there was a gym, but you could come and learn how to wrestle. It wasn't the Warriors' strength.
No.
Like, that's what they bring up, is that, you know, there's a few people in there, Shane McMahon especially.
But what was his strength?
Well, it was just the look and the fact that it was at an era where bodybuilding was huge.
Yes.
And he had a fucking rig.
Yeah, he did.
That was incredibly impressive, even in wrestling.
Was a big boy. Yeah.
He got the bodybuilding stuff before he got the wrestling. And the thing was, he had all the energy and stuff like that. But as I said, there was a lot of squash matches. There was a lot of warrior runs in. When he won the Intercontinental Championship, they fucking show the whole thing. The doco. It was 30 seconds. He runs into the ring, fucking coat hangers, honky-tonk man, fucking gorilla press, done. Then he runs out of the ring. And so that was the thing with, you know, they bring up the fact that they placed him to take over from Hogan and had to get the 30-minute match out of him and whatever.
The 30-minute match?
Well, I think it was like 20 to 25 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
And they said, you know, that was what he struggled with, to make it like a story out of a match. And, you know, that's where they bring up that there was some rankling in the locker room about, has this guy paid his dues? He doesn't know what he's doing or whatever. Shane McMahon is incredibly positive about him the whole time and says he paid his dues. He did respect the business. He did all this and that. But I think it's clear, like, you can't just say that and then watch all the matches and say, well, you know, he didn't hold the belt for very long because he couldn't do the stuff that guys. And it's funny because they kind of paint that, you know, when him and Hogan sort of left WWE, it was considered this downtime. But that's when it moved to guys like Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, who really fucking excelled, not because of their bodies, because they were fucking really good at what they did in the ring.
Yes.
And they could have a fucking lengthy match and make it have the crowd on edge the whole time. So it's kind of fun to see that. They don't shy away from all the shit, you know, when he starts making really – they show the video of the fucking university appearance when he starts talking about – homosexuals and all this sort of shit, and his wife tries to explain that away. It doesn't hold. Like, he said a lot of shit online, a lot of shit. And she kind of blames it on, you know, talk radio and him looking for an identity. And there is a sad angle about there was a guy his whole life looking for a father figure almost because his dad left him when he was young and all this sort of stuff. But it doesn't explain it all away. I appreciated that they looked at it from both sides, and I appreciate that they showed it, hey, this was the family guy that we knew.
Mm.
But it was interesting from that perspective
okay.
to fill in a few gaps. But, you know, the bad is still the bad. It's still there. The difference to this one is it had the bookend of him going into the Hall of Fame. And shows a bit of backstage footage of him, like, talking to Hulk Hogan and saying, look, I was really disappointed about the doco, and Hogan sort of saying, look, just know that we appreciate you and what you did and all this sort of stuff. A little bit of burying of the hatchet.
Mm.
And, I mean, it's fucking poetic that the guy starts talking about, you know, in that final appearance, he makes that speech. One of the only promos that he cut that fucking gives you a few goosebumps when he talks about, you know, when a man beats the final, his heart beats its final beat and all this sort of stuff, the things that he's inspired in other people are what will be sort of remembered.
Mm.
And the guy fucking had a heart attack, what, 3 days later or 5 days later or something. So it's kind of poetic in the way that it ended up.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure you'll be sniffing around that one, having a bit of a look.
Well, you know what? I remember watching that other one, which was called The Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior. Which was good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't know much about the Warrior back then.
Yeah.
And until that, seeing that doco, and then the Dark Side of the Ring episode was another good episode on him.
So, and they probably filled in more of the negative. I think Dark Side of the Ring actually did give it, say, hey, this guy was hot for a minute. You know, he was top of the pile.
But I guess Dark Side of the Ring is looking at that, yes, that negative correct. Angle, isn't it? It's how it's positioned.
And the thing that this has that Dark Side of the Ring doesn't really get access to is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, there's one that I couldn't stop giggling at. He got made to – he told some kid to fuck off in an airport, but it turned out the kid's dad had a connection with Vince or something. So Vince made him cut a fucking promo to send to the kid as an apology. And the Warrior is fucking raging. You see him, they've got a couple of minutes of him going, yeah, the Warrior's doing it. Then, oh, fuck. Yeah. Then he's kind of like saying to Vince behind the camera, I don't even know why I'm doing this. You know, if I'd said, I wish I had said what I'm supposed to have said and all this sort of stuff. And McMahon's in the background going, yeah, I do too. You hear him at one point going, it's a work, Jim. It's work. Let's get it done. You know, like, it's quite funny. It only goes for a minute or two, but it's funny to see that stuff that you never see. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. And that was where I finished off.
That was it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, some quick news, Jared. And I know we've ragged on this man quite a bit.
It's a love-hate relationship. It's a love-hate
relationship
point.
With him, but Jesus Christ. An article just dropped recently. The Rock's latest film, Red One, has now gone over budget to the tune of $250 million. And there are reports that The Rock is rocking up 8 hours late.
The Rock doesn't rock.
He's not rocking up, until 8 hours later. Also, they mentioned to speed things up, he pees in a fucking water bottle.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
if you turn up on time, you've probably got time for a piss break, Dwayne.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, look, I'll be 8 hours late, but guess what? I'll save you 2 minutes by peeing in a fucking bottle. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
It also said that the producer, which I believe is his
ex-brother-in-law.
Ex-brother-in-law is out of his league. The Amazon Prime producers are fucking don't know what they're doing. the article was quite scathing.
Yeah.
I get the feeling that there were other people who have fired back saying that it's not true.
Yeah. Funnily enough, people that still want to be in business with The Rock.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody said he's only like an hour late. I was like, it's fucking not good enough. Like, honestly, if I was a fucking hour late for work, someone would have my balls.
If the positive spin is, yeah, he was only an hour late, then it's probably worse than that.
Like, I reckon it's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I think it's
pitch for 4 hours and he only pees once or twice in a bottle.
It's the old adage of there's your story, there's my story, and then there's the truth. It feels like it's somewhere in the middle. You could not be 8 hours late every day and still
be... That's fucking an entire night's sleep. Come on. You can't need that much time.
So I believe that he's probably late, but I don't think you could say he's averaging 8 hours.
Do you think, Jared? I haven't been there. This question
I haven't had to carry one of these piss bottles off set, so I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, mate. I hope he gets it right in the fucking middle.
Because
if I'm his PA, I am not taking his piss bottle if it's covered in piss on the outside.
At least they're Voss bottles. They're glass, aren't they? At least there's a little...
They'd be fucking warm. Ah, shit.
The funny thing is,
I'm not going to lie, he may be a big unit, but I'd be tipping that fucking shit over his head. This is the last time you do it.
And you'd be waking up 8 hours later going, what the fuck happened?
No, he wouldn't be.
You got hit with a rock bottom and then he's dropped the people's elbow.
He wouldn't be there in time to fucking knock me out.
Yeah, exactly. the funny thing is that's easy to believe because he's fucking posted that on Instagram before. What? Talking about when he gets a hard workout in, he doesn't like to leave, so he pisses in a bottle.
Oh,
he's put that on his own social media. So we can believe that. He was yucking it
up.
Are you
wearing a diaper as well, you fucking scumbag?
Yeah, I'm saving you all time. I'm crapping on the fly here.
Yeah, can we take a break? No, I don't need to. I've crapped in my pants. Jesus Christ. All right, look, the article, I get the feeling the article's not 100% true, but I'm going to bet that there are some issues and some of them are correct.
Look, I'm going to bet that there's some of it that's true and it's coming on the back of, you know, it wasn't that long ago we got the whole fucking, the story that deconstructed the whole Black Adam thing and there's things that line up about, like, him muscling in on the production and putting his own people in place and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a good look.
Well, let me throw this at you, Jared. We said we'd look back at his resume.
To see if it's worth carrying bottles of piss and going $50 million over budget. $250 million for a fucking streaming movie. This shit's going streaming.
A Christmas comedy, I think it
is. Yeah, yeah. It's going to streaming.
What the fuck do you think you're doing with that? Not by the sounds of the article, is that worth it?
By the sounds of the article, the people in charge don't seem to fucking know what they're supposed to be doing.
Okay, let me just run it through. I'm going back to 2017. Now, I told you, Jared, I went back through his whole, I just flicked straight through.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No, it's not.
His resume is not good at all.
Nope.
Honestly. But this is from 2017. Baywatch.
Mm-hmm.
Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Not bad.
Rampage.
Yeah.
Skyscraper.
Oof.
Hobbs and Shaw. Not bad. Jumanji, The Next Level.
Yeah. Didn't mind it.
Jungle Cruise. Red Notice. Black Adam. I'm not going to include Fast X because he's a cameo.
Mm.
Fast X. That's it. Since 2017. Now, you tell me, is there a really good movie in any of them?
No.
None.
There's not.
So here we are allowing him a movie starring him to spend $250 million when I think even box office dollars, you would look at those movies I just rattled off and say that only the Jumanji films have been super successful.
Yeah. Have they been that successful, though?
Well, the first one made $700 million.
Yeah.
So I think both of them made good money. But Jungle Cruise,
Black Adam,
Rampage, Skyscraper, Baywatch, none of them made big money. Like, not for what they were budgeted at.
Mm.
So I'm going to say this. This has been an ongoing thing with actors once they get too big for their fucking boots. They start rocking up late and they start, you know, demanding things.
Yeah.
And it's always a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
Right? So if he's smart, he pivots and he goes into something where it's just him acting on and doing like a role.
Well, he's doing that with, I mean, he's pivoted to go back to wrestling. Although they did mention he was fucking late for the late for WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's covered in piss.
he got out of the limo with a couple of bottles and said, sort this out for me. I'm going to get straight to the ring. But
yeah, he was 3 hours late, so he got out and he's fucking pulling on his tights and shit and getting ready to go. A couple of bottles of piss in his hands.
Yeah, yeah. Look, take this bottle of piss, but I'll give you a bottle of free Papatui too. Yeah. Rub that on your tattoos. They'll look fantastic. But I think he's doing the A24 one. But I mean, surely if you get this big, you're doing all the producing and stuff as well. Can't you just fucking say, look, I start at midday. I do not get called before. Like, I don't know necessarily the ins and outs. I understand you want to condense the shooting. You want to make the most of what you've got. But if you're that big and you're prepared to foot a bill, can you not say, this is my terms. This is my conditions. This is what we're going to do.
I'll turn up at lunchtime.
I'll fucking turn up at lunchtime. Because they said he rocks up 8 hours late, but then squeezes in a 3-hour workout. What are the hours? So
11 out of 24 hours, you're not there. Fucking hell. No, you know what though, Jared? I'm going to say this. Your job is to fucking act, right?
Yeah.
Now, I think you have got hundreds of people working on these films. They're expensive films.
Yeah.
You are wasting everyone's fucking time because you're an arrogant prick. Basically, that's why you're doing it, right? So stop being an arrogant prick and just turn up and do your job.
Well, there's a level of that. Look, to me, it says maybe do you take a bit of time away from acting? Because he's got so many fucking irons in the fire. And to his credit, he's fucking earned all that. He's done his – he's put his fucking – alcohol brand together. He's got UFL. He's got Papatui.
The guy fucking works hard.
He works hard, but does that leave you time for the movies anymore? Because if it doesn't, like you said, and again, I'll give him credit for the guy seems to give back. I don't know whether it's all for social media, but he tends to do some shit that I would consider impressive from a guy of his stature.
Yes.
Making someone carry a bottle of piss does not count on that list. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just take some time off acting, or if you're going to fucking do this, then hand the reins over to your other stuff to somebody else so you don't have to worry about that for 2 months.
Or sell it off or do something. Yeah. The bottom line is, Jared, as the star of these movies, you set the tone.
Yeah.
If you're not going to front on time, if you're going to do fucking stupid things and tell people to fucking jam it up their ass and that, everyone else is going to take the same approach. Yep. And they're going to get lazy and your productions and shit are going to go downhill.
Here's another question. Does this put him back in the firing line as the asshole that what's her name work with? Rebecca.
Fuck yeah. Rebecca Ferguson had to carry his piss bottle and no wonder she's got the shits.
So TC's off the hook.
TC's way off the hook, Jared. You know what? I mean, I don't know. I know we haven't heard anything and I'm sure there's plenty of fucking things. But TC, I don't know if he's rocking up late.
No, he's not rocking
up
late.
He's not rocking up late. Because he's rocking up early.
Well, that's the thing. He's the ultimate professional on that front. I mean, if you're late, you're copping an earful.
Yeah, where the fuck have you been? He's riding you. Man.
He's pestering you with pamphlets. Yeah. He's doing all that stuff, but he's not late.
Well, so it would seem.
He's by the time you get there, he's already hanging off the plane. Yeah. Going, come on.
He's been there for 4 hours jumping out of planes and fucking riding motorbikes off cliffs.
He's on cliff's edge by the time you get there, ready to rock and roll.
But what I'm saying here is professionalism comes from the top down. And correct. If you're the star, you are the top.
Yep.
And if you're not turning up on time, then people are not going to give a fuck after a while, are they?
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to start going, well, why should I turn up on time? This guy's not going to be here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was part of the article said they had to shoot around him because he wasn't there.
Yes.
I get the feeling that maybe he rocks up a little late every day.
Yeah.
But there was a day in question, there's one particular day where he didn't rock up and they had to shoot around him and that's the day that they're sort of pointing at.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's a bit of sort of maybe a little bit of bullshit in there.
Listen, the guy that wrote it, I've read his stuff for a long time. He had a site called Heroic Hollywood, which was a good source for superhero stuff. Yeah. So I've kind of followed that for a while. He leans towards the sensational kind of parts. So
I think they've taken the story and they've kind of extrapolated it. It's probably been
blown up a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, there doesn't seem to be any suggestion that he mistreats people or anything other than
Rebecca Ferguson.
Yeah. And piss carriers. But, I mean, yeah, if that's what
his PA, who on their resume says, I've carried a bottle of Dwayne Johnson's piss. PA
is not personal assistant, it's piss assistant on Dwayne's. Sorry, did you get that mixed up? If you hadn't read it, if you hadn't read the job description, PA was piss assistant.
Sorry, the job is described as carrying bottles of your urine.
Yeah.
Is that all there is?
Don't open a calendar. We don't need you for that. That's not what you're here for. Because the calendar's just going to say open aside from 2 hours in the day when I turn up to the film set. Everything else is free time / workout.
Fucking hell. Yeah, look, to me, that if that sort of shitty behaviour is what you're pulling and your shit's over budgeted to the tune of $250 million,
yeah,
you've got a pretty large problem.
Yeah.
I can say that much.
Well, at least, you know, when he turns up, he's a lovely bloke apparently and there's that. So it could be worse for Dwayne.
50% of the day I'm a lovely bloke. The rest of the time I don't front up.
So at least there's that. It's not all bad news.
All right, shit. All right, let's take a break. Jesus. And here is the trailer for 2006's Cold Prey.
Let's go. So let's check this place out.
Cold Prey from 2006. Immediate apologies to anybody who's Norwegian. I am going to fuck these names up big time. Don't you worry.
Do your best.
Okay. It's directed by Roar Uthang, who directed Tomb Raider, the newer Tomb Raider film. It's produced by Magni Ligner, who produced Cold Prey 2, and Martin Sunderland, who produced The Wave. The idea was by Jan Erik Langoon, who wrote Christmas on Cobbler Street, and Magne Ligner. The story was by Roar Uthang, Martin Sunderland, and Thomas Molstad, who wrote The Conference. And it's written by Thomas Molstad, Roar Uthang, and Marit Haig, who wrote Hotel Caesar. It stars Ingrid Bolsberdal as Janecki, Rolf Kristen Larsen as Morten Tobias, Thomas Alf Larsen as Eric, and Andre Martin Midstigen as Mikhail. The budget was, I don't know. I was unable to find this detail out. And the box office was $3.8 million worldwide. The hotel room in which Ingen is killed and later the others hide in is room number 237. Which is most likely paying homage to The Shining, in which the notorious room number was also 237. Not in the book. Is that correct? It was changed from the book.
Mm.
That's a fun fact.
Mm.
All right, Jared. Cold Prey. Talk me through it.
I thought it was good fun. I think it starts with an absolute winner of a location.
Oh, yeah.
And that carries all the way through. That's the biggest strength of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I feel.
Location and atmosphere.
Yes.
Fucking fantastic.
And I think that's what carries it through. At parts, especially early on, it takes a while to get going. I feel like it really takes a while to warm up. But when we do, they string together a couple of really nice decisions, I felt, with the script and the writing, and make really good use of the location that they're in and the exterior using the snow and whatnot. That covers what I feel are a little bit sort of standard stuff with the killer.
Yeah.
And all in all, I think it's mostly on the positive. I probably settled at 3.5. It took me a little while to get over on the half, and I nearly fucking pulled back because of the you know, some of the revelations regarding the killer and whatnot. But 3.5, I think, is where she sits for me.
Yeah. I actually went 3.5 as well. Location, fantastic. Atmosphere, fantastic. But one of my big positives, the final girl is very competent.
Yes.
They really nail that.
For the most part, absolutely.
She's competent. She makes good decisions. She's constantly, like, taking it on, taking him on.
Mm.
And it works well.
Yeah.
The negatives are lacking in body count. Like, for a slasher picture, I could have seen 4 or 5 more kills. Would have been just nicely in there. And no character development.
No.
At all. I mean, I know slasher films are not known for this, but bare bones.
Bare bones for a couple of characters.
Yeah, very bare bones.
For a couple of characters in the middle, there's a stretch that I enjoyed. But, yeah, I think you're right. There was, all in all, not so much. So, yeah, I think you're
and
on the point there.
I would agree with the revelation. I mean, fuck, when you first see particular people involved in the first minute, you're like, yeah, those guys look fucking dicey as.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was not much of a surprise at the end.
No.
I've also got something to talk about with regards to killers.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, you're not getting fucking whey protein in, but you're 6'5 like a brick shit house. Like, how do these fuckers get like this?
Yeah, and you're not even eating the people.
You're not. Exactly. I mean, you're not living next door to a Woolies, so you're not getting your protein bars, your
definitely
fucking,
not you know, living your next to a fucking in. Supplement shop.
And why can't there be like 5'8"? Jesus Christ.
A weedy little cunt that says, I'm just looking for food.
Well,
just help me.
Last time I checked, a fucking pickaxe works if it's been wielded by someone my size or someone who's 6'6".
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll stretch into that because I've got a couple of things to say there too.
But overall, it's one of the better slashers in the last 20 years, in my opinion. I think it does a really good job.
I think it would end up in honourable mention category for me.
Because to me, the location is slightly different.
Yeah.
And some of the atmospherics, there are a couple of moments where the killer appears in the darkness.
Yeah.
Fucking, I just, whoa, shit, where did that come from? Like, they really nail some of that.
I probably wouldn't stretch that far. I think if you went into the weeds on that, you would probably find quite a few better, but I think you're fair enough to put that out there, and I would say if I was questioned, it would probably rate a mention for sure.
All right, straight into it. Location.
Hard to top.
The snowed-in, abandoned chalet, in the middle of nowhere, you're trapped.
Yeah.
There is nowhere to go.
A couple of shots when they're walking up. Fucking magnificent. Yeah. And makes it very clear early on that they're there.
Yes.
They're fucking right there.
Yes. So, and that was one of the other positives I had.
I can imagine there was a few days where people were fucking struggling to get equipment sorted out.
Oh, fuck yeah. I mean, you know The Rock was not turning up to this one.
No, fuck The Rock. The Rock would have poked his head in 8 hours late and said, what, the lights are fucking there. There's electrical issues because we've got fucking snowstorms coming in.
But also, Jared, one positive, he could piss in the snow.
Yeah, exactly. No one would notice. It'd be yellow for a little bit and then it'd be fucking like it was never there.
So that chalet's got heaps of rooms, little hiding spots.
Yeah.
It's constantly dark.
Yes.
Even when they put the generator on, it's still got a darkness to it.
The combination of the mountain and the abandoned fucking chalet is great.
Yeah, really works.
And carries it through. As I said, there's some weaker points of the movie, but that stuff is so good that it almost carries it through despite that.
And another positive I had was they do some snowboarding and ski stuff.
Yep.
And it looks good. Yeah. You know, they're actually using legitimate fucking skiers and snowboarders.
Well, I mean, Warren Miller would have been gripping the handles going, fuck, this looks all right.
Warren would have been going, was this taken from one of my films? The fuck's going on here? And, no, but you know what? Some of these movies cut corners and they don't use professionals to do that stuff.
Yep.
So this is nicely handled and that from that front. And you're right, a couple of those sequences and they're walking up the ridge.
Yep.
Beautiful.
It's fucking clear that they are a long way
they're
up.
In the middle of nowhere, mate.
Yeah.
I like the look of the killer. I kind of like the old school kit. It looks like it's from the 60s or something.
Canvas material.
Yeah, it doesn't look like you'd freeze to death in it, I would have thought. But I also like the mask that he's wearing is kind of got, it's reminiscent of like Town of Dreaded Sundown or fucking Jason's sackhead.
Yeah, it was okay. I didn't love it, but it was okay. I also
like the fact that they don't linger on him often.
No.
They quick cut. They show him moving briefly.
Yeah.
You don't get close-up shots of him very often until the end.
I actually wanted a touch more, but yeah, I think overall that works in its favour that they keep it mysterious for the most part.
Yeah, so handy.
Mm.
I mean, he's not going to make me forget Jason or Michael or any of them, but, you know.
He's a fair way down the list.
Yeah, he's down the list. But he's on the same diet with
the same restrictions.
Of course. I mean, these guys are shredding during the fucking winter
fucking
months.
Fasting. He's on a fucking 30-day fast.
That guy's fucking dead in the snow. He is. He's got nothing.
You're in the harshest possible conditions. At least Michael Myers could eat a fucking rat occasionally.
Or a dog or something.
What are you getting?
Shit. I mean, how many stupid motherfuckers came out there? There is dead set a ski school's worth of gear.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we'll get into this because I got a few things. Some of that's questionable. More things to say about his diet.
I like the injury that forces them into the chalet. The injury means that they can't just go back off the mountain. They can't just come off the mountain. Well, you could have, but
I came down on the other side of that.
So you didn't like that.
I'm interested to hear what you have
to
say.
I just like the fact that
I will parry later on.
He gets injured.
Yes.
And then they look over the crest and they see the place.
Yep.
And they make the decision to go there.
Yep.
Which, without the injury, you don't go there, do you?
No, correct. And
I come off the mountain at pace.
I like that portion.
You ski past the fucking dirty chalet and fucking keep going.
Yeah, you continue on. Yeah.
I'm looking for hot chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. You're down the bottom. You're fucking toasting marshmallows before sundown.
But, yeah, exactly.
I'll come back to that later on in my dislikes because I fell on that side of it.
Okay. I said this at the start. The heroine is portrayed as capable and confident the whole time.
Yeah, and she's never waiting.
She's never shitting herself either. Yeah, she's constantly taking him on.
The only time she's waiting are when it's like, I've got other people to worry about.
Yes.
Which they actually play off really nicely, but she's always up for, okay, what do we do? What do we do here? She's ready to fucking have a crack.
And also, she starts off by showing her confidence by you doing the first aid on the guy who's injured, gluing his leg.
Again,
his injury
don't love
idea.
That, but we'll come back to it.
But I guess from character perspective, it sets her up nicely.
It sets her up, but I like the fact that, and this kind of goes away from that, I like the fact that down the stretch, she's not sure, but she's like, well, I've got to fucking do something.
Mm.
This might not be the plan, but it's something.
Yes.
And you don't see that much in slasher. You don't see a lot of, well, fuck, we've just got to, it's this or death.
Yes. And you know? I just appreciate that she always makes some moves that are, you know, fairly acceptable. That you would make those moves.
Yep.
Even down to the shotgun and everything like that and the shell and, all that
and
stuff
as I said,
played out really
it's tied
handily.
To somebody else.
Yes.
She's got the
fucking Morton Tobias.
She's got the get up and go fucking Morton, all right?
I tell you
it's
what,
funny
mate.
That Morton in our culture, I've heard a dick referred to as a Morton, and that kind of fits
Morton.
With his bloke.
And I can tell you
Morton,
right now, I'm saying, Morton, old buddy, you're fucked. Moving on, mate.
I can't risk it. All the best to you, Morton. But no.
I'll be back, mate.
I like the fact that she plays, she is, every move she's making is how are we going to get out of here?
Yes.
Which is great.
Yes, I really liked it. I actually was very surprised because I'd seen the film before and I hadn't really thought about it. And I was actually looking at it thinking she fits the bill just nicely.
She's the anti Adam who's fucking trekking off saying
yeah.
Every man for himself.
Morton, I'll bring the police, mate.
Morton, I couldn't get the sled. Did you try? I gave it a quick pull.
I pulled on it briefly, mate, but it's caught under 3 tons of skeeky.
Yeah. I gave it 10 seconds. That was all I had. Sorry.
I found a set of skis that fit me.
Yeah. You come back in with the fucking snowshoes on.
I've got a full kit on. I've got a full fucking Quicksilver kit.
You've got the full kit. Sorry, Morton, I couldn't get the sled and there's not room on this fucking snow ski that I found. I'll be back.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Honestly. Yeah, there you go. That's where I'd be. I'd be running off on the guy instantly. I like the first kind of kill with the girl in the room and the pickaxe and, you know,
that
the
was way she really tries good.
She bolts down the hallway and then he reappears.
Well, I actually got a bit of fucking Drew Barrymore in Scream out of that.
Like, did you?
I got the sense that, you know, because she gives a bit of a fight.
Yeah.
But as you said, they shoot it fucking really well in the atmosphere of the joint. You get a sense of where things are. And she's so fucking close to other people.
Yeah, I love that bit actually where she's just down the stairs and they come past again.
The way that they do it, it just adds to this fucking, oh, you know, this desperation and fuck, she's that close.
Yeah.
Which, you know, as people that watch this shit a lot, you don't get that much.
No.
So when you do get it, you're like, well, fuck, we're well played. They've done their work there.
Yeah, and I think they do a really good job there.
Yeah, excellent job.
It's the classics kind of thing, but it works well.
Yes, it does.
I liked the sequence of Eric, you know, getting into his gear and getting ready to go and then seeing the footprints in the snow.
Yeah.
And then finding her.
Mm-hmm.
And then as he's sort of leaning over, you're just seeing just behind him, the guy kind of comes out of the snow underneath. Yep. Cool, really cool.
Classic stuff, like just using the footprints, but again, the location and the fact that you're right in the thick of that just fucking heightens all the isolation of it and whatever. And yeah, I agree. I thought that was really well done.
And that was sort of back to back. We piled a little bit of that on quickly, which was good.
Yes.
Because I've got a negative with regards to the deaths and stuff in a sense of pacing, so to speak. Well,
that actually came on the back of just backtracking slightly.
Mm.
I actually like the fact that, you know, the two who for all money for the first fucking half hour of the movie look like the couple from Friday the 13th Part 5 who are constantly looking to sneak off and have relations.
Oh, yeah. Is that the one that takes like 30 seconds or less?
Yeah.
and then he's got to go wash up?
Yeah, they both end up dying just very after quickly. The throes of passion there, yeah. Adam.
Well, passion, questionable.
We got to, he got to the P and the A, maybe.
Yeah. I've got to go wash up. Jesus Christ, mate. But yeah, I haven't done anything.
I love the fact that they go off. She is not, she's got second thoughts. And he's like, let's not do that right now.
Yes, yes.
He carries on like a petulant fucking tosser. And so you're ready to fucking brush your hands of him and think, what a prick. But then they spend a bit of time to fucking show that he's fucking just carried on a bit. And you're almost ready to say, oh, okay, well, let's see what he's got to say. I like the fact that they chuck that into the mix because they then use that to go into that first kill.
Yes.
And sort of set the tone for how he acts later on too.
Yes. Yes. Look, again, I think the character development's small, but there are some moments there.
But just that brief moment takes the expectation of what we're fucking conditioned to expect in a slasher and says, well, we're just going to go a little bit different.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Because she's not a lead character. She's not the character that would normally be like, this isn't it.
Yes.
Right now.
Yeah. You agreed.
Know? So I actually
think
they
do a, like, as much as I think Morton Tobias is a fucking twat, because he's a twat, but that little moment where he looks at her, I think she's sort of smiling about something that's going on, and he's laying on the couch now, injured and acting like a fucking asshole. But he looks up at her, and you get it. You get that sense. You understand immediately that he likes her.
Yeah.
And then it comes back.
It does.
Later.
Yep.
And again, it's fleeting, but it's nicely handled. How she sort of said, "He says I have to tell you something." She says, "I know."
I know. Yeah. Yeah, we all know.
And Morton. then it's like fucking see you, mate.
I know. Adam's just arrives on his fucking snow ski. We'll be back.
No, what was that? He's right. He's left. And then he's fucking left.
Out the window, you hear. You're weighing me down. Get off.
You go. I'm leaving in 10 seconds. Jesus Christ! I'm out of there.
And then you hear him. Help me! Help! I would have done the same for you.
I've injured my leg. I kind of like the. I mean, fuck these guys. These guys have got an entire chalet to themselves and they're living in squalor. I don't really understand that.
No.
But that's an eerie sequence where they come across kind of like his home in there.
Yeah.
You know, they start going, has someone been living here?
Mm.
And there's all the ski gear and there's all the shit that's there, but there's also like food and it's clear that he's been living there.
I was expecting you to find him in the corner going, yes, I'm living here and I'm hungry. Have you got any food? And if you've got a protein shake, I'll take that too.
Look, I ran out of gruel weeks ago. Have you got anything you can give me? I cannot eat a human. I cannot.
I tried it in 1980.
Yeah. Look, it was stringy.
I'm a vegan now. Which is difficult in a condition where I can't plant anything.
I planted some herbs in the window over there. Shit. They have failed to.
Failed to produce any morsels.
Shit, a brick. Oh, man. And that same thing, that same sequence gives you that sense of like, the place has been closed for years.
Yeah.
But yet some of this gear is new.
Well, that was an absolute winner. The fact that they put together, oh, this place has been closed since 1975, and then they start fucking saying, well, what about this? Are they the beanie and the sunglasses? And I'm assuming, you know, it's brands and stuff that they're looking at and saying, well, what's this?
Mm.
That's gold.
Yeah.
That's where I thought was one of the good decisions of how to just get some information out about
quickly throw it in, but not sort of
we don't need to see. We don't need to see that he's been doing this shit to other people who fucking snuck their way in there. But we know that he has, or he's found.
Well,
people
the half a dozen
brought their shit back.
The fucking half a dozen school trips that have come down.
Exactly.
He's fucking killed.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh man.
Yes. So I thought that was a good way to do that. I also, just before that, Adam, I got a laugh for some reason about a very simple line of, it just came out of nowhere when he goes, oh, haven't you heard about the bloke that breaks into cabins and shits on the floor? Maybe it's him. I was like, no, I haven't heard about that person, but, you know, do tell.
Enlighten me.
It sounds like a story I'd be interested in. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, well, I'd prefer it was just fucking crapping on the floor and not burying a pickaxe in my skull.
I'd rather accidentally step in that than die.
Yeah, I'd rather
actually,
hear the door
know.
Close.
Maybe I'd prefer to die.
Depends on how fucking, if it's solid or not.
Yeah, but he hasn't eaten in 20 years, so. There's not much of it. It's
fucking dust.
exactly.
Yeah, what though, Derek? I'd rather hear the door close of my room and someone tittering and roll exactly. over and find a turd at the foot of my bed.
Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly.
That's more to my liking.
Correct.
Because you know what? I can engage in a bit of back and
forth. We can return serve. I can put that in a paper bag and line it on your doorstep.
Oh, shit. Yeah, if I'm dead, I can't do that.
Correct. Okay, I've changed my mind.
I was actually surprised the boyfriend was still alive.
Yeah.
Fucking,
yep.
That caught me off guard, but then actually works pretty well.
Yeah.
In the,
it does.
I mean, he is fucking bland. Like, he is two-dimensional, super. That guy.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know anything about him.
And talk
other
about
than...
no character development. We have a little kind of back and forth in the car, and then what was that about? And then he's done. That's him
well,
for the rest of the
movie. Well, she puts her hand on his head, and he goes, are you guys living together? Nah. He pipes up with that. No, sorry. He says yes, she
says
no.
Yes, she says no.
Yeah, and then he's like, then she removes
her
hand.
He broaches it
like...
once, and then he's gone for the rest of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, she removes her hand so quickly as a PA carrying a bottle of piss for the rock, yeah?
Exactly.
Oh, shit. And off there. And so that, but I thought it was interesting that he was still alive.
Yeah, same. I thought it was worthwhile the way that they did it towards the end.
Because they end up using, I tell you what, because it also forces her to go back in.
Yes.
Yep. They've trapped him and then they realise he's still in, she realises he's still in there.
Yeah.
So she has to go back. And there's a really awesome scene or shot where she comes up from out of where she's hiding with the shotgun, points it at him, and he's carrying the torch.
Yes.
And he turns the torch off and everything goes fucking dark. She can't see him. Yep. She's only got one slug, so she doesn't want to fire it and waste it.
Again, pros and cons there.
Pros and cons, but it's really nicely delivered the way they do it.
Yeah.
And I do like that the door's going.
Yeah. And the fact that she's only got the one bullet was a nice little way to throw her into that situation. And
that bullet gets wasted.
Yeah.
The boyfriend comes out.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was really cool. And she does what anyone would do, fucking shit and fire it.
Yep.
You know, I thought that was
she
really
says,
well.
Shit, played. I accidentally stepped in something that the sneaky cabin bugger's fucking left.
Oh, so
on the
we've
floor.
Got a fucking phantom shitter and a murderer on the loose at the moment.
Bugger. both of them
it's
to contend with.
It's double trouble.
We thought it might have been one or the other, but it's both.
Shit. Yeah, I didn't think of that. Maybe somebody could be pulling both of these at the same time. The death of the boyfriend is nice.
Yep.
He steps through, the fucking bullet goes, the shot fires, and then he drops to his knees and bang, gets the pickaxe right through him.
Yes.
Nicely played.
Yep. I actually, just before that too, I thought the fact that the broken leg comes into play, you knew it was sort of going to play some part, but the way that the other guy does start pulling the, we're fucked and I'm not waiting for him, and leaps out the window and stuff like that. Again, that comes back to how he acted when he walked out of the room, but then he's feeling remorseful and you're thinking, oh, you know, do we give him another chance? Then he carries on like this and you're like, nope.
No, he gets no chances now, by the way.
So I like the way that they went with the back and forth, and I like the way that they played, right, there's three of us left at this point in the movie before we, you know, come back to finding out the boyfriend's still there. There's three of us left and now two of us have to be responsible for this guy. One of us is prepared to do it. The other one's like, fuck that. I am out of here.
I mean, that guy would have run 10Ks in the fucking snow.
He was ready to go.
But there is also a fantastic sequence where she goes out and gets some skis.
Yes.
And I love the fact that she kind of breaks down a bit, like, fuck, you know, we're fucked. She's trying to get the sled out. She can't get it out and she just starts crying. I like that because it showcases where we're in real deep shit. And she gets a set of skis.
Yep.
And she starts punching it through the snow. and she's got the torch and the camera's kind of close. And then he just comes out of the darkness next to her, like,
yeah,
and grabs at her. Like, it really took me by surprise. It was
yeah,
like,
it's good
far
stuff.
Far out.
Good
like
stuff.
That. And again, he's only shot for like a second, so you only see him really briefly.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's cool. It's really well played.
But there's a couple of bits like that. Like, going back to what I was just saying about the leg, old mate that jumps out the window, I just didn't expect to the old fucking the tried and true bear trap. I just didn't expect it because we're in the snow.
Yeah.
And then to have it happen to what I believe is the same leg that fucking Morton's hobbling on, it's just gold. Yeah. This is a string of really sort of solid decisions that was clearly the best part of the movie. There was a stretch from about 45 minutes to probably the last 5 minutes, just before the last 5 minutes or so, where I just really good decisions, one after the other.
I like that he's dumping the bodies in the crevasse.
Yes.
Because nobody's going to find that shit.
Well, it lends it an air of believability that
people could go missing
and no one's finding them.
No.
Yeah. Someone's finding the chalet and fucking having a
look. Well, I've got a question mark on that in my dislikes.
Yeah. But the ravine portion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the final showdown between them is really well done.
Yeah, it's cool.
She pulls out the little...
The box cutter?
Box cutter. And then she takes him on pretty good and then sends him over the edge.
Mm.
I don't particularly like, and I've got huge question marks about how a child fucking survives out there.
And thrives.
And, yeah, it turns into fucking where's the biggest person, this biggest human
being
on
earth. Where's his sort of Van Damme-style montage of fucking, you know,
stretch between three
finding
trees.
Finding the chalet gym. And
You see him. He's like curling Conan. He's pushing fucking weight, and then we cut to him 10 years later. He looks like fucking Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
That was it for me.
Yep.
Really good stuff through some portions there. Really, really well done.
Yeah. I actually had one more that didn't really it sort of came back in, but not the way I was expecting it. But I dug the idea of when the generator starts going off and what's his name? Eric,
yeah.
The guy that fixed it,
yeah,
is gone by that point. So
they can't turn it back on?
They can't turn it back on, but they find fuel.
Yes.
And say, so we've got a bit, but it's going to run out. And I'm like, okay, so we've got this nifty little bit of atmosphere that you'd set up in the dark. We've got the lights on, but we know we're going to go back to that at some point, and it's going to fuck you up. I kind of like the fact that we just didn't know when that was going to happen. As far as I recall, he actually cuts it out in the end.
Yeah.
But I just sort of like the fact that, all right, well, we know that it's coming back and you're going to be in the shit. It kind of just has you kind of waiting for that.
Yeah.
And when it's going to kick in. So I kind of dug that, but probably didn't pay off as much as I was hoping it to.
Good idea.
Yeah.
All right, into the dislikes.
Okay.
Not enough gore and not enough kills.
Not enough
for me.
Kills.
Like, you, to me, you need a drunken caretaker or some fuck with like that you can really.
Crazy Ralph. Crazy Ralph.
Crazy Ralph. Yeah, crazy, crazy Ralph.
Crazy Mountain Dweller.
You need, like.
My cabin's over here, but I've been, you know, I've successfully survived for the past 30 years. Yeah. But
I was driving past, hit my snowmobile. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like you could have used another group maybe that turned up.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then you could have nailed some of them too.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's fair. That is fair. It feels like they kept the smaller group to keep the relationships and the character development, but then
and
we
probably
didn't
to
really
keep some like perhaps keep set pieces and money down.
Yeah, and
so
keep the guy in a bit of mystery, but we didn't really get the benefits of having less characters to sort of build.
Yes.
Anyway, so.
Yeah, they didn't do anything with the characters anyway, yeah, development-wise, that much. So why not waste that time by ripping people's heads off and what have you.
Yep.
I think that would have been. But that would have been more in keeping with your American slasher.
Yes.
And what, you know, the European. Some of the European ones are a little bit grittier, and this one is quite gritty. In the way it's done.
Yep.
Just, yeah, character development is just not there. There's a number of characters. I mean, they really don't put a lot of work into it. as to what they do. We talked about Eric. We talked about the girlfriend, even though she sort of does a little double, like, yeah, you expect that they're going to be off having a dalliance, but then she kind of pulls up on it.
Yeah.
But that's really it.
Yes.
She's then killed seconds later. So there's just a little lacking with that character development. I know it's a slasher, so you're not expecting that.
But it's with the main characters too.
Yeah, you've got to build something.
Yeah.
The only reason we care about the main survivor is because I feel like they paint her in a light of survivalist type of, you know, she's capable.
Yeah.
But that's it. We don't get much else. Other than the fact that she was not interested in moving in with Eric.
No, fucking not at all.
Holy shit.
I would like to know why.
Eric leaves the dunny seat up all the time. You know, like, he's the sort of guy that does that.
I heard Eric is the one that breaks into your cabin and shits on the floor. So she was a little concerned about Eric's finding random turds on the floor.
She found a nugget on the floor at home and realised it looked very similar to one that I stood in at my last keg party.
She wandered into the bathroom and caught him dropping an upper decker and thought, is this the guy for me?
Yeah, as she walked in, he was in reverse kangaroo mode. And then what happened was he leapt off the toilet like, oh, shit. You saw nothing.
Yeah, we should have a flashback to the conversations. Eric, I love a prank, but not when they're shit related. It's not for me.
But why? Why? Explain it to me.
And then we lead into, are we moving in together? Yes. No. There, we've explained it. Right there.
As I said to you, I love my hulking maniacs, but fuck, these guys are not possibly being able to consume enough protein to get this big.
Fuck no. No.
This guy even less so. He's out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
And he needs more calories because just a short walk for him is an arduous fucking task. And he's sweating in his fucking, you know, his snow clothes and, like, it just doesn't pass muster, especially when they start cracking open a can in the kitchen.
Yeah.
That shit's been closed since 1975, has not been fucking supplied since 1975,
look, I understand,
which at this point is 30 years.
Allegedly that shit survives for a while.
Yeah, it survives for a while.
Not 30 fucking years.
But we're led to believe that other people have been here and been victims of this guy. He's had to have something to eat. Those cans have been fucking consumed years ago. Okay? There's nothing left.
Yeah. You don't find a can in there.
No.
There are no perishables, Jared.
No.
The place is fucking cleaned out.
No. There's no fucking space food sticks. Nothing. Long-lasting food.
Okay. Old mate has killed a few people. Yeah. They would have had some snacks.
Just snacks, though.
But I used to carry some shit in a bag when I was at the snow. Snacks.
Yeah,
like,
but I mean, how much?
Yeah, not much.
Exactly.
A couple of fucking protein
bars
or something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, old mate's getting some protein there.
Yeah.
He's not getting meat protein unless he's eating humans.
But this suggests that he's not. He's tossing him in the ravine.
I would have had him being a cannibal.
Would have explained the size of the man.
I mean, the guys who crashed in the Andes, they all turned into fucking hulking.
It didn't take long. Did not take long.
So, I mean, they all
we
grew
got
to be
peckish.
6'4". After they ate some blokes up.
Mate, trust me. It'd take me 36 hours. You'd be fucking falling asleep and I'd be gnawing on your foot or something.
Yeah. You know, again, I come back to, I know why they do it.
Yeah.
It's about intimidation. These killers are huge because it's like, it's intimidating.
And we want them that way as an audience. It's, yeah.
But in this case, because they don't show him in great detail.
No.
You didn't need a fucking monster.
Yeah.
You could have just had a normal sized dude.
Yeah.
Who's strong.
I mean, we can cop it with Jason. He's a survivalist.
He's a fucking survivalist electrician.
But, you know, the guy.
A guy who knows how to use a rotary phone, even though his brain's the size of a fucking golf ball.
He's got plenty of skills that he's demonstrated over the years. So I believe
we talked about this. Jason is not getting a fucking A at TAFE.
No, he's not. But I believe he could whittle a fishing pole out of some leftover kind of material.
And he's in the forest.
Yes.
There are animals.
Yeah.
So at the minimum, he's He's getting meat.
Yeah. I don't know what this bloke's eating.
I mean...
He's eating snow.
What, the liver guy? he's legitimate.
You're telling me the mountain man's come across some supplements.
Yeah. A couple of bodybuilders turned up on the ski run.
Yeah,
fucking Gary Whey protein.
Yeah. You eat a liver and you buy fucking $300 worth of my supplements a month, you'll look like this.
And by the way, I'd be lying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm using roids.
It's got nothing to do with that needle hanging out my ass. Just forget that you saw that.
Okay, like, yeah, I know it's about intimidation, but fuck, you didn't necessarily need
it. Yeah, there's circumstances where you look at it and you're like, come on. This man requires plenty of calories.
I also have a problem with the chalet. You can't tell me that something that large would be left to rot out in the middle of nowhere.
No.
That nobody would have fucking seen it. Nobody who owned the land would have bulldozed it.
Well, like, can I come back to this? This is the issue with the, that
I mean,
I've got
I guess
with
they
them.
Couldn't bulldoze it because they were probably killed.
They tried.
There's a couple of bulldozers covered in snow somewhere.
Yeah.
What happened
That's
to the
what
crew
he had.
We
that was the keys
there,
that he
place.
Had. The keys. He was trying to tell her, I found a bulldozer. These are the keys. But he was just fucking stabbed through the gut before he could say it. So here's my issue, right?
Right, okay.
They find the chalet after the break, after all that, in daylight.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I don't know whether, you know, whether it's daylight savings or whether Norway's got longer hours of daylight. But they were in the car in the day.
Yeah.
Right? They're fucking flying down the mountain in that same day.
Yeah.
So they've gone up the mountain, which seems to be the hard part, right? All in daylight. So we're talking about a stretch of hours here.
So did they get there at like fucking 6 a.m. or something?
I don't know. It's I don't know when know. They were driving, but from when they find the chalet, there's that's time after that as well, and bust in. It's all still daylight.
Mm.
So it's hard to cop the decision of we can't get back down the mountain in time.
Because like, you got
I'm
up
saying
there
someone goes down the mountain on the fucking skis, you'll get there pretty quickly. Jump back in the car until you got reception and call for some fucking help.
Yeah.
We do that straight away. That's my issue.
Where are you again? Are you up at that fucking chalet they tried to bulldoze for fucking dogs?
No, I'm not coming out there. Last people we sent out there didn't come back. We didn't find much,
supposedly,
but there was a ravine.
The place is haunted. Jesus Christ, get out of there.
I agree.
That their decision making doesn't make sense because it didn't take you that long to get from the car up the mountain.
Up the mountain, which is the hard part, right? That's the long part. Going down the mountain, okay, I understand. He's on a broken leg. Just push him, break it a little further. It's not going to matter.
Mate, I would gladly kick that prick down the fucking hill, no problem.
It was detached. It's not going to get much worse. But I just think the decision to say, we'll go here and then we'll do it in the morning, to me, it doesn't pass muster.
No, it doesn't. And the place looks pretty good
For
a joint that hasn't been fucking open for 35 years.
Fucking
do they have a caretaker like Slaughter High?
It must have.
You know,
it
that silly
have.
Motherfucker
who turned up.
Sleeping in the...
Yeah, give me a six-pack and I'll fuck off and forget you were here. That's okay. Like, in the scheme of things, it's a small thing because I know they had to get to. But looking at it on its own,
it's very hard to cop.
It does.
Because what you're saying
is
you're putting yourself at a chalet that hasn't been open for fucking years when you could just continue down the mountain.
Just get down the mountain. We get there quick. Even if we send one and everyone else goes here, that's why the decision doesn't pass muster for me because you're fucking flying down the mountain in the previous shots.
Oh, it's
you
shit.
Guys are motoring. That's how he broke his leg in the fucking first place. So I feel like, someone goes back. But that's, again, Small. I'm talking about it. I'm having a whinge about it, but it was small.
I mean, look. I understand that slasher films require some sexual content, okay?
Yep.
But you have just broken into a chalet that has not been fucking operational or used for 35 years.
I can assume the place fucking stinks.
The fucking, the doona, the bedclothes, they are disgusting.
Yes.
You are, yeah. I would not lay on that shit in full ski gear.
I'm not taking, I'm putting all my clothes on. Let alone dropping my tweeds down
to my crackers and laying in it.
No, fuck
Holy shit, I am not that desperate to get laid. No, I can tell
you
now.
This can wait. This can wait.
I'd just be like, look, we'll do this tomorrow.
I want to catch something. Yeah.
You know what? I'd rather have a fucking root in the snow.
Exactly. Like, look, I've heard it's good for the muscles. It'll feel great afterwards.
Not in the yellow bit. You know, but the rest of it, fine. Yeah, I just, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, you are, nobody is doing this.
No.
Nobody.
No.
You are not leaving that center area.
No.
Because the rest of the place is it's just a shithole.
Yeah. It would have been fucking disgusting.
Yeah. And you're roaming around picking up booze that's been there forever too.
Fucking hell. You don't know what you're drinking. Yeah, but nah. Not happy with
somebody's
that.
Getting fucking the shit or dysentery or something from it.
Somebody's dying from whatever they've fucking drunk there.
I am fucking force feeding Martin Tobias or Morton Tobias with as much piss as I can fucking muster.
And then you're saying, well, I'm hungry and we've got to eat somebody. Yeah, and he's the obvious choice.
Yeah, exactly. Martin's got a decent size
I ran out of protein snacks an hour ago.
Yeah. I was eating jerky up the top of the mountain. I run out of it.
Yeah. You didn't think to bring an EPIRB along with us at all? No, fuck. I put protein snacks
Morton's
in anyway.
Morton's already injured, mate. He can lose a couple of fucking strips.
Let's just cut the foot off. Fucking roast her up. It's just like a ham hock. Let's just eat it.
Yeah. Removes the bone. Like, once we start cooking it, the bone just slides out. Fucking hell. And the last one for me was the shocking looking CGI when he falls down the crevasse. Far out. I was just like, just don't.
Just use sound effects.
He fell.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
when
just you
go, the shot when she kicked him over it was cool.
Yeah.
You end with that and a bit of a...
But also, you could just have the flashback, just show the flash at the end of the parents kicking the little boy down the fucking grass. You're telling me that
so you're saying
little
we
kid
keep that?
Who's about fucking 10... got booted down a crevasse by his parents.
Can we come back to that? Because I've got a whole thing to go into.
Fuck.
This could take 15 minutes.
Okay,
here.
Go.
So you said you liked. You said you didn't mind the like the female lead sort of started with putting the fracture into place.
Yes.
How the fuck do you know how to do that? Did you see the fucking thing?
Yeah. See, I jumped to a conclusion
that she was like
she
a med
was a
student
nurse
or something.
Or
a nurse.
Yes.
But how do you conclude that?
Nowhere. It's not mentioned anywhere.
No. And you need
other than the fact that she doesn't want to live with Eric. So maybe that's what fucking nurses do. They don't want to live with Blake.
So I need a brief touch of that. Okay. So, but that's just tell me I'm studying medicine or something. I'm a vet. Anything.
Yeah.
Just give me something.
I also use super glue at a fucking rampant rate on people's, skin.
Yeah, I've heard of using super glue, but you can't super glue a foot back on, which appears to be
fucking
dangling
glue,
by skin.
That type of super glue is not what they use.
Give me the Tarzan's grip.
They don't use the Tarzan's grip. Jesus Christ.
No, so look, that put me off a little bit at first. That was like a combination of I need to know how she knows how to do that and then we make the decision to stay on the mountain. Okay.
Okay.
So we go
to
the chalet. We go to the chalet. She super glues his foot back on. Okay. I got past that. I've determined, you, I made the assumption that she does, garage surgeries for fucking the mafia.
Yeah,
or something like
she's
that.
Doctor. Okay. She's doctor.
So
She super glues his foot back on. She comes out and she goes, he's fine now. Is he?
No.
He's not fine at all.
Just because you did fucking combat surgery on the guy.
We super glued a horrific fracture. Yeah. He's not fine, okay? But then we compound that by plying the guy with fucking, with grog. Because it seems like he's pissed.
Yeah.
I'm correct,
he
right?
gets pissed, yeah.
He gets pissed. He's continuing to fucking drink. So not only in the morning is he going to be back to, oh, fuck, my leg is in excruciating pain.
I've also vomited on myself.
I can't get up to go to the bathroom, so I've vomited everywhere. What are we doing?
I shit my pants. Like, is somebody going to be able to help me?
So now I can understand why old mate leapt out the windows and we can't take him. He stinks.
He's like 35-year-old chalet.
He's crapped his strides. He's got vomit on his shirt. I cannot touch the guy.
I refuse. Damn it.
So there was just that stretch of like this string of things there where I'm like, come on. We can't ply that guy with fucking grog.
And I tell you what, I'm sucking piss before he is.
Oh, of course. I'm going, give me some of that. Yeah. Oh, at least when I get up tomorrow and spew, I'll be able to get out the door. Because,
Not necessarily. Well, that's the fucking morning where there was no way.
I'll get
up. If a killer was up my ass, I was not getting out the fucking... I was like, now, come on, mate, fucking hang on.
I didn't say I would get away from the killer, but I'd say...
Have you got some aspirin?
I'd say to him, can you allow me my dignity to vomit outside and then you can have me?
Yeah.
That's the energy I can muster is
then
to
then
get...
Then I'd play a little bit of fucking bait and switch and try to throw it at him.
Oh,
yeah, I'm trying to run off. But I can tell you right now, I had a couple of mornings where, fuck Jared, could have killed me with ease.
Yeah. I'd have seen you and said, I'm done anyway. I'm going to give it to me. It would feel better than this.
Yeah, I'd have woken up, opened my fucking bleary eyes and said, just fucking do it.
Exactly. I'm sure you probably had a morning where you said, the fans of crap has been... Oh, no, that was me.
Well, Jared, when I woke up on the Iwani Golf Club, I would have rather someone buried a pickaxe in my fucking head.
Yeah, you'd have preferred it had been snowing and covered you up.
Oh, God.
Covered you and your fucking... Yeah. Your misery.
I also had to walk home, which was about fucking 20K.
With a fucking hangover that would kill a man. You're an idiot.
Yes, Jared, I am.
The times when I woke up and thought, where am I? I was usually indoors, Adam.
I have some recollection about how I got here, too.
Not much.
No, just coming back to the final killing with the kid. There, you're trying to say that little fucking kid went down a crevasse by his parents and he survived and then survived the harshness of the winter and shit and turned into fucking the biggest human being on the planet.
Yeah.
I just can't do it.
I mean, we always knew it was the kid, right? Like, they didn't give us any other person that it could
be. Did we?
Well, that was only...
You open the film with that kid running away and then falling.
We had the parents. We had the kid and the parents. That was the... Unless they were going to go with someone we didn't know, which I didn't think was going to be the case. It was the kid or the parents.
They show the like, a news footage of the parents.
Yeah, yeah.
Would he run away? No, it's his fucking father. I'm like, of course you killed him.
Yeah. Let's ask some questions here. Let's dig a little deeper.
What was that? You said you killed him.
But the thing was, they showed neither of those as they showed the kid and the parents as the options.
Yeah.
The kid, well, it's 30 years later. Fuck. Oh, gee, there's a man here.
Yeah.
Like, that just seemed completely obvious.
Yes.
So that wasn't a surprise at all. I must say, like, as you said, you kind of said, well, the parents looked fucking shady as when you saw them.
Yeah.
But I didn't necessarily expect. I thought it was just going to be they fucking let him run out and didn't. I thought it was just going to be that he got himself in like a fucking, not an avalanche, but a situation where some snow fucking fell on him or something, and that was it.
Yeah.
And the parents just didn't bother to fucking look for him or whatever, or were negligent in some way. But when they fucking started, when it cuts to them and they're fucking shoveling snow on him with their foot, I laughed.
Yeah, yeah.
I did. I giggled. And then I came to, why are we doing this? And the only reason they provided, because they gave us nothing, was that the kid had a birthmark.
Yeah, not worth kicking him down a chalet. I think, look, lock him in the fucking room at the end of the chalet, maybe.
The basement. You're saying, oh, he's got a birthmark. Well, put him in the basement.
You know what? I'm bringing fucking breakfast to you. You know, not to leave.
Fuck, you're a harsh
man. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you're a harsh
man. I could have seen it as something like the kid has been living there his whole life. He's killed his parents.
Yeah.
But no one knows he's there.
Yeah.
And he's been living in the chalet untouched.
It was just, it's another reason why this could not, you know, if you ask me about, you know, as you mentioned, one of the better slashers, that stuff just really pulls it down. Like, I nearly gave it a 3 just because of that last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I was so down on that and the fact that we got nothing to say why are you doing that to your child? Other than that,
do they give information in the sequel?
I don't know. I haven't watched the sequel.
The sequel's good.
Yeah, I've heard the sequel's pretty good. And
Cold Prey 2 is quite good because it's kind of like exactly like Halloween. It's that day.
Yeah.
They go to the hospital.
Yep.
Same girl. Yeah, like
yeah,
it nicely kind of segues into it.
But I feel, yeah, it needs further explanation. Something like Michael Myers, you don't need that. He was just killing.
Yeah.
The parents didn't know how to handle him. He's in an asylum. Bang, there we go.
Well, if only his parents had taken him out to a fucking snowman wilderness and kicked him down the chalet.
Visual of them kind of kicking it out.
It was fucking ridiculous.
But yeah, it just looked like
he's
had something done to him that was pretty fucking horrific. And there's no explanation other than the visual of, oh, we gave him a birthmark on his face, and with the limited information we have from the movie, I can't read the language that the newspapers were in. Perhaps they built on it.
Birthmarked child.
But all I can see missing. Is parents, you know, all I see in the film is parents have a child with a birthmark. They don't like him. And I'm led to assume that the birthmark has something to do with it.
But why'd you let him live for 10 years? What the fuck? Did the birthmark come up when he was like 10? Look.
What is it called, a birthmark? Because it was there from birth.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, when he came out and he had one on his fucking face, I think there are other ways to deal with it. It doesn't, again, maybe there's more information in the newspaper clippings. I know. But it gives no reasoning behind any of it.
Nope.
And it's quite laughable.
Yeah. It is. That's the problem with it, is that, okay, some of these things you play them and you can take that and say, I don't need the backstory. I can run with it. Halloween, prime example.
But what happened to the parents too?
I don't know.
See, that would have been interesting to find their corpses.
Mid-shovel?
No, but just he survived. He came back. He fucking walked the wheel of shame like Conan the Barbarian and then fucking killed them.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I think that kind of would have been interesting. But this is where the movie's lack of characterization and explanation lets it down.
Yes, it does.
There's no explanation for any of that.
I needed a little bit of that.
And 4 more kills.
Yeah. You should be producing Friday the 13th movies by the sound of it.
Well, I need, yeah. Any notes? It knows they go, we've got 15 kills. Any notes? Five more. Is that everything for you?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. That is Cold Prey. You can find us on Podomatic, iTunes, and Spotify, and all other platforms where you get your podcasts. Send us an email at thrillme@iinet.net.au. We're on Facebook at Thrill Me Podcast Australia, Podomatic at thrillme.podomatic.com and Instagram at thrillmepodcastau. Make sure you rate and review us on all the platforms as well. Keep an eye on the Facebook page for details of our next movie. But until then, take it easy and we'll catch up with everyone later. Cheers.
Find the podcast at Podomatic or on iTunes. Don't forget to rate and review. Like us on Facebook at Thrill Me Podcast Australia or contact us at thrillme, all one word, all lowercase, at iinet.net.au.